Amen. Today's message is called A God So Near, and it comes to us from our reading in Deuteronomy chapter 4, which, just to grab that one verse again, for what great nation is there that has a God so near to it that the Lord, as the Lord our God, is to us whenever we call upon him? What nation has a God so near? It's a great question that I think we have to, in a sense, keep asking ourselves. I don't necessarily mean the nation of the United States, but may I say that which is the kingdom of God today. Which people have a God so near as those who trust in Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father and in the Spirit, the three in one, the one in three? Why is this a big deal? And why in the world do we have this idea of church, of gathering together on a weekly basis? Can I suggest that God knew we needed this? He's the one that created this rhythm, isn't he? He's the one that created the Sabbath. He worked for those 6 days and then said, let there be a day of rest, and he hallowed it. As a church sign I've seen, and maybe you've seen it as well, that 7 days without God makes one week. W-E-A-K. We have these reminders, this rhythm of coming to worship on a weekly basis. We have these reminders of the high holy days of Christmas and Easter and Pentecost and others that we celebrate together because God knows we need the reinforcement, the reminder that we have a God so near to us. Can I suggest to you that our first sin, or maybe a better way to say that is our first step towards sin, is not lust, envy, the other things that Jesus mentioned that come out of our hearts. Those are sin. But the first step, the first danger that we face is forgetfulness. Forgetfulness. It's interesting. If you forget how to make your favorite recipe at home, what do? You get out the recipe card. You go on the internet. You grab it. You look at it again. Some of us can make some recipes, like whether it's chocolate chip cookies or pizza, whatever it is. We've done something so long, the recipe is in our head, and we have it. We can just make it. Off we go. Or the recipe, if you will, of how we get to a loved one's house. We know the route. We just have it. Imagine what happens when we forget. Now, today, technology kind of covers over for the things that we forget, doesn't it? GPS does what our memory can't do for us as far as getting to a loved one's house if we forget. But even our technology and our medical technology in particular have limits of what they can do. That's why perhaps the most devastating disease that any family ever faces is Alzheimer's, when someone slowly begins to forget. How crushing it was this week to be with two daughters and a son and have them say, Mom doesn't even remember who we are anymore. It's the most heartbreaking thing we've ever experienced. And why is this a big deal then for us as Christians? Because the first step into sin is forgetfulness, because when we forget how much he loves us, when we forget how much he's promised to us, when we forget the warnings he gives us of how much damage sin can do to ourselves and to our loved ones, when we forget that Jesus Christ died for all of those sins and rose again for our justification, when we forget God, what do we have left? We're on our own. We just have whatever it is we can scramble and scrabble and grab for ourselves. When we forget those mighty deeds, that's why I think it's so fascinating that the number one commandment in the Bible is love God. The number two commandment is that we should obey all of his commandments, although may I suggest that actually in today's Old Testament lesson, we have a much better translation of that. It says in verse 6, keep them and do them. That's really the best translation for the word obey. Every time you hear that in the Old Testament, that we to obey means to do them, to put them into action, to know that this is God's recipe for the best life. And when we do that, great. So the number one commandment is loving God. Number two is doing or obeying. The number three most common commandment in the Bible is remember. Even more so than don't fear, don't be afraid, I am with you. Even more so than don't give in to temptation, it's remember. Because God knows that we need help in remembering. That if we can remember all of those great things of God and all that he has done in the past, if we can do as those Old Testament saints said, you know what, if we can just remember what God has given, if we take care of our souls diligently and then we do not forget the things that our eyes have seen, then it won't depart from our hearts all the days of our life. And we will help our children and our children's children remember. That's why remembering is such a big deal. And remembering in particular today this idea that we have a God who is so near us, who is always reminding, who is always loving, who is always redeeming and working and acting and striving to help us. Maybe it's worth asking the question today, why do we forget in the first place? Why does that happen? And I'd suggest to you, it's this creatureliness that's built into us. It's this dependence that's there. If you forget to eat your breakfast, by about 10:45 in the morning, your body will remind you that you forgot. If you forget, by any chance, that you need roughly 6 to 8 hours of sleep a night, try going a day, try going 2 days without it, and after a while, your body will remind you, oh yeah, I need sleep. You can do that with so many things. And this idea of forgetting, I think this idea of creatureliness is something for us to grasp, because there are hungers, like the idea of physical hunger or physical thirst, there are hungers that God has placed inside of us, and if we will remember to let them be filled by him, then we have strength. Then we have wisdom. As again, the Old Testament reading talked about this idea that when we do this, then we have this wisdom and understanding in the sight of the people. It's as if in the topsy-turvy, bend you upside down, or a world that has upside down values, in the craziness of the topsy-turviness of life, when we remember God, it's like he and his word are our compass to keep us fixed straight on the point. I remember the first time the boys ever tricked me into getting on a roller coaster that went upside down. I didn't know it was coming, right? But once I got on and I saw what was about to come, I said, the only way I'm going to make this and survive this is if I keep my eye right there on that bolt of the chair right at the head of me, to focus in on that. And that is what we're talking about. When we have that remembrance of God, then we're strong. But it's when we forget him, then we look someplace else to fill those hungers, someplace else to fill those thirsts, someplace else to fill the thirsts and the hurts that are there in our lives. That's why it's so important. Verse 9 again, be careful, keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen. If you remember, here's a test to see how well we do this. This past Thanksgiving, when you went around the table and said the things that you were you were thankful for, I bet everyone said their family. That's pretty much what we all do, right? But do you remember what else you were thankful for last year? Do you remember what you were thankful for last week? Do we remember? You know, we pretty much remember to say a prayer before we eat, most of us, most of the time, right? Do you remember the old way we used to do it, right? At the end of the meal, we would stop and do another prayer. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. I think we forget. When we forget, then suddenly, and this is something God talks about elsewhere in Deuteronomy, then suddenly we think that the responsibility of filling those hungers falls on us. I'll get myself security. I'll have a big house. And I'll have a big bank account. And I'll have everything I can arrange in my corner so I feel secure, forgetting it's God who said he is our rock. It is God who said, I am so near you. Whether you go through the valley of poor health or the valley of depression or the valley of poverty, I am with you. My rod and my staff will comfort you. I will make your cup overflow again, that our souls can be rich and at peace, even when our bank accounts are empty or our body is broken. We forget. And so we cling and we claw and we search and we strive so much to fill out those hungers, and that's the step into sin. I'll depend on myself. I'll take the credit for myself when I fill that hunger, forgetting that we're going to need to eat again and need to be strengthened again in just a few more hours. It's God alone that gives that unending strength and peace and love. And then once we've given into that sin, it just warps us. It warps us so that, as Jesus said, literally everything that comes out of us is what defiles us. Everything, even the things we do with the best possible motivations, we still will take pride in it and take credit for it and ask others to, you know, to pat us on the back about how great we are. Can I just say for us again, you and I were created to need. We were created to need, and Adam knew this. He needed Eve. Eve and Adam needed God to provide for them and walk in that close fellowship with them. And yet somehow they got tricked, right? And that somehow was they forgot God and forgot his promise and they listened to someone else. That was the first step into the sin of their rebellion. And it's warped us ever since. That's why when we find something that fills our needs, we go back to it over and over. If I get angry, if I rage at my family and they all back off so I get my way, well, hey, that worked pretty well. I'm going to try that again. That's what a two-year-old is doing. And when it's a two-year-old, we pray they outgrow the terrible twos. When it's a 42-year-old or a 72-year-old, it's downright scary and it's absolutely sinful. But we go back again and again. Whether it's a bully or an alcoholic or whatever it is, we go back to those patterns, and so we defile ourselves, and we hurt the people around us. Our good news, our strength and our hope, is that God still draws near. He draws near to those who are choosing at times to live apart from him and not dependent on him or give him the credit or rely on him through tough times. He sent his son Jesus in the incarnation to come near to us while we were yet sinners, to come near and touch the broken and the fearful, to come near and feed those who were hungry and hungering for righteousness, and those who were even self-righteous. He loved all and came near to all and offered peace and grace to all. And he came so near to us that the Bible describes this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. He came so near that he took your sin, your uncleanness, the ways you have defiled yourself, the ways you've hungered and thirsted for other things than God. He came near and took all of that upon himself and paid the price for it to lift its guilt and its shame off of you and off of me so that we truly could be free. God loved us so much that he came that near and experienced a death for us so we do not have to. This God still comes near, doesn't he? He comes near, as Romans 10, verse 9 says. It's not far away. It's not that you have to ask God to go up to heaven for you. Jesus already did that. It's not that you have to ask God to come down and meet you in the depths. Jesus already did that. The word is near to you, that if you confess with your lips and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, God is near to us once again. He comes near to us in the communion we'll experience in a few minutes here in his altar. He comes near to us by his word and by his spirit, always coming close to those who will turn in their hunger and in their hurt towards him. Psalm 34, verse 18 puts it this way: God comes close, draws near to the brokenhearted. Why is it so many times we take our broken heart to someplace else to try to numb the pain or heal the pain, when it is God who wants to come near and carry the pain and walk with us through anything that we face? Let's draw near to the God who draws near to us, which is what James tells us. Come near to God, and you will feel his nearness coming near to you. This God who offers us that help, this God who gave us through the wisdom, through the words of St. Augustine that said, our hearts are restless and ever hungering till they find their rest in you. This God came near to us to show us what that rest looks like in his son, Jesus Christ, to make the way for that rest and nearness that we could never have had without his death on the cross. And this God invites us to come near and stay near so we can be strengthened and remember and see the path through. That's why there at the end of the Old Testament reading, we'll close with this idea. Take care. Keep your soul diligently. You were created as an infinite being, but given finite drives and hungers and thirsts so that you would remember to always stay near to your infinite loving God. May we indeed remember his love and stay near to him in times good and difficult. And may we find that comfort he offers us now and always. Amen and amen. I invite you now to